Greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. I guess there were probably some more that have had butterflies in their stomach maybe this morning. Well, I do too. But hopefully the Lord will help us get through this. But yeah, what a blessing to see the Lord working in young people's hearts and lives and coming together in a God-fearing way. Isn't that a blessing? And that is, and I just want to thank the Lord for that. Well, you know, Sean and I didn't have no conversation at the shop there about what he was going to share on. I didn't see him cut that thing out. That was really good. And maybe the Lord just has some more of that for us. So anyways, I wanted to... I'm going to take some of my thoughts. If you've ever read this book, The Calvary Road, I'm going to read some out of there. But it's very much along the same line of the cross. You know, and if we've... just a few questions I thought of is have I found my place at the foot of the cross? Each one of us, could we ask ourselves that question? Have you found your place? Is there a place at the foot of the cross? Is there a place for everyone? There's room for everyone, isn't it? There's a place for each one. And am I still standing there gazing, looking at the cross? Am I just still standing there looking at it? Counting, maybe... considering the what all it's going to cost me. Am I kneeling there? Am I done? Have I come to the end of my road? I'm done with my life. I've got no other plan. There's no other way. And that's what I want to, that's a part of what all I wanted to share too. It's going to touch some of that. But if we found that place and if you at that place, you know, I think even this will just be again confirmation in our own hearts and lives. And I don't know if it's for you how it is, but I know for me, it's you know, this isn't just, it doesn't just happen one time, right? Isn't it a daily experience? So yeah, my title this morning is actually Revival. And revival, what is revival? A renewed attention to or interest in something. And you know, we all like to be around people that are revived, you might say, excited, you know. I mean, whether it's at work, you know, people are excited about what they're doing. You know, most people don't like hanging around somebody that's just, you know, wished it was Friday and it's Monday, you know. And, but we like being around people that are motivated, excited, right? Excited about what they're doing. They're revived, you know, the same way in our spiritual life, isn't it? We like being around people that are revived, that are motivated. And, that motivation, of course, comes from our Lord Jesus being that example. But are we willing to do what it takes to be revived? What does it take? What would ensure that you would get revived? What could we do that we could know that we could be revived? Go to Galatians 2. I'm going to read a verse there. Galatians 2, verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Does that sound like revival? The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. You know, it's by faith, you know, we have to put our faith in the Son of God, and we can live this life of being revived daily. It's not just a every now and again experience, but we can daily find that life of being revived. So yeah, I'd like to read a little out of this this book. Here says, revival is just the life of the Lord Jesus poured into human hearts. Jesus is always victorious. In heaven, they are praising him all the time for his victory. Whatever may be our experience of failure and barrenness, he is never defeated. His power is boundless, and we on our part have only to get into a right relationship with him. And we shall see his power being demonstrated in our lives, in our hearts and lives and service. And his victorious life will fill us and overflow through us to others. Did you get that? The revival is just the life of the Lord Jesus poured into human hearts. Isn't that what revival really is? And coming into a right relationship with him. So, you know, in this of being revived and coming into a right relationship with God, you know, there's some things that have to happen, aren't there? There's some things that have to happen in our lives. And one of those things, and I don't know that we have them all here, but just I think one of those things is our wills. Our will must be broken. And so it's actually through our wills being broken, us coming to a brokenness in our hearts, that we will have revival. Brokenness is a beginning of revival. It's a lifestyle of brokenness. How about that? Could we say that we have a lifestyle of brokenness? Brokenness equals revival. Brokenness in our hearts to the Lord Jesus equals revival. So where does this start? So, you know, where does this revival or brokenness, where does it start? You know, I think it can start right now if we have not found, each one of us, if we've not found that place of being broken, just at the end of, we've tried everything, you know, and there's nowhere else to turn. We can do that today, right now. We have that opportunity yet to bow our knees, to break our hearts before the Lord. And get in a right relationship, put ourselves under His authority, be in under authority. God has put authorities in our lives. We've all got fathers and mothers, you know, and He has given those to us, and we should respect and honor. And He's given us brothers and sisters in the church. We ought to respect and honor. That's where these things start. And I believe, I guess just in my, as I was studying here and thinking about this, I believe that we can start this process as parents for our children. So just, I guess I have a word for us parents in this of brokenness. I believe we can start this process at an early age for our children of brokenness, and make it easier for them when they come to that place of finding and seeing their need before God. But it's when the child becomes demanding. And, you know, I think as parents, we all need to take care of the needs of our children. Our little children, you know, they need food and clothing and shelter, and we need to take care of them best as we know how, and provide for them, make them as comfortable as we know how to do. But you know, I would say at an early age, I'm saying maybe before they're one, they ought to know, or at least begin to realize, that they're not the only one in this house. You know, and I think you as parents, you know, we know when that, you know, it just don't all revolve around myself anymore, you know. And there's carefulness with that, but I believe early on, if a child can, you know, learn to, that it doesn't always have to have its way right now. And but we need to provide for them and care for them. But I believe we start this process of brokenness in our young ones' hearts and lives, that they can in turn come to the Lord at an early age, you know. And when they sense those things, that they will quickly come to the Lord. And I'm sure you've all met people that maybe have had a hard time with this, or maybe have never learned how the way of brokenness. And they have fought for everything that they got. They fought with their brothers, and it was whichever one was bigger or the meanest or the toughest, you know, that was the one that came out on top. And there was no correction brought, you know. I've seen this, and, you know, it goes into their adult life, it becomes a life of just seeing who can outwit or outsmart or outfight or outdo another, and that is totally against what the Lord's way. And so if we can cultivate this in our young ones' hearts and lives at an early age, they can learn that they're not the only one in the house. Our wills have to be given to Christ. Okay, again, I read here from this book here. It says, To be broken is the beginning of revival. It is painful. It is humiliating. But it is the only way. It is being not I, but Christ. Not I, but Christ. The Lord Jesus cannot live in us fully and reveal himself through us until the proud self within us is broken. This simply means that the hard, unyielding self, which justifies itself, wants its own way, stands up for its rights, seeks its own glory, at last bows its head to God's will, admits its wrong, gives up its own way to Jesus, surrenders its rights, discards its own glory, that the Lord Jesus might have all and be all. In other words, it is dying to self and self attitudes. Have each one of us found that place of brokenness and where we can say that it's not I, but Christ? You know, it's not what I think, it's what the Lord thinks. How do I live my life? Is that what's coming out of our life? What do people see coming out of our lives? Matthew 26. Read a couple of verses there in Matthew 26. 26 and verse 39. And this is Jesus here. It says, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless not as I will, but as thou wilt. And again, like Sean brought out, the Lord Jesus being our example. Here we see Jesus' example to us. Did Jesus want to go to the cross and die? It seems like, you know, here he says he prayed. He even prayed, oh, my Father, if it be possible. So he, you know, this was not pleasing to the flesh. This was not something that he was looking forward to. Said, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Verse 42 says similar. Says, and he went again the second time. So not once, but twice he prayed. This is the Son of God prayed to his Father. O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Could we say that? When we're going through that very difficult time, that very difficult thing, that thing we think is over, you know, just no one else has walked through. I mean, really, Jesus has walked through. He has given his life, and he was perfect. He never made a mistake. And he even prayed. He prayed twice to his Father. Asked if it wouldn't be possible that this cup would pass from me. But then he ended in saying, thy will be done. Can we say that? Can we do that when it's our turn? When it's our turn, can we say, thy will be done? Yeah, you know, we do go through hard times, and sometimes we think and we feel like no one understands. But do you think Jesus understands? You think Jesus knows what you're going through? He does. He knows what I'm going through. He knows what each one of us are going through. He understands these things perfectly. You know, it's not cloudy in his mind. He understands. He knows. He's been there. Luke 22:44 says, "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground." Have we been in such a place? Have we so earnestly been in such a difficult place and way and hard time that we've had sweat as great drops of blood falling to the ground? You know, this man was in extreme agony. Extreme agony. It says he prayed more earnestly. And this is the Son of God praying to his Father, you know. And I know we all can be sons and daughters also of him and reach the Father heart of God. And I think his heart was touched by his Son's prayer here, but he, you know, Jesus yielded his will to that. And I guess that's what I'm just putting that in front of us. Can we yield our will to the Lord Jesus today? John 12:27 says, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour." 28 says, "Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." "But for this cause came I unto this hour." You see, we have difficult things and trials, struggles sometimes we go through. And Jesus here, he did too. But he realized, he says, "But for this cause came I unto this hour." You know, he realized that this was the very reason why that he came and the Lord had him on this earth. And I know we don't always, it's not clear sometimes to us the different things we go through and struggles we're in. Why? What cause has the Lord God in this, you know? But if we could have and could just rest in that fact that the Lord, just like Jesus here, he was troubled. But he seen down the road, and he said, "For this cause," he seen what was in the end result. And if we could just somehow ask the Lord, instead of removing and taking away and why all this, could ask, you know, the Lord, what are you trying to show me? What, you know, this is obviously, you've got me here for this, at this time, at this place, for a specific reason. And we know one of those things is to be in God's will and just to humble our hearts and allow that to do a deep work in our hearts. And it may not always be clear to us until we get to heaven, maybe, what all we've went through. But if we could just honestly break our hearts and humbly just accept those things that God allows into our heart, into our lives, and just accept them and realize that this is my opportunity to lay down my life and to give everything at the cross. Yes, there came a voice from heaven saying, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." So, you know, each one of us, who is responsible for our life here. Wasn't it Jesus that gave us life at conception? Jesus gives us life, right? And if we would just come into a right relationship with Him, we will again give our lives to Him. And every time when we find ourselves in these difficult situations or a mountaintop experience, we just again give our lives to the Lord Jesus, because that is rightfully where our hearts and our lives should be. I quote again out of this book. Says it is so often self who tries to live the Christian life. The mere fact that we use the word try indicates that it is self who has the responsibility. It is self, too, who is often doing Christian work. It is always self who gets irritable and envious and resentful and critical and worried. It is self who is hard and unyielding in its attitudes towards others. It is self who is shy and self-conscious and reserved. As long as self is in control, God can do little with us. Isn't that so true? How much can God do in our lives if self is on the throne? We have our own agenda. We have our own things we want to look at, we want to do. Let's go to Galatians 5 there and look at those fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22. Says it, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, how could we have these fruits of the Spirit if it was self in there, and it was self-love, self-joy, self-peace, and we got self, long-suffering, and just put self in front of there. Self-goodness, self-faith, self-meekness. You know, that just doesn't work, does it? That is not the fruit of the Spirit. We cannot have the fruits of the Spirit and have self on the throne. We can try to muster these things, and we can do some of them. We can put a smile on our face when we need to, you know, and we can be happy and we can be joyful when we need to. But what when, you know, we've hit the end of the road, a big bump or hit the pothole, you know, then what comes out? Is it gentleness? Is it goodness? You know, what comes out of our lives when we've hit them real hard times? Is it the fruit of the Spirit? We can't have the fruits of the Spirit and have self on the throne. What about our imaginations? So I was thinking about this. This is for me. I don't know if it's for y'all, but I mean all of this. But, you know, our imaginations can just run away with us sometimes, you know. And at least when it's against me, you know, I feel like you've got it in for me, you know. My imagination can just take off. But you know, even in a bigger picture too, our imaginations, what motivates our imaginations? Now, isn't it a lot of times self that is in there, and we imagine this and we imagine that, and you know, maybe I don't know about you, but that's sometimes how it goes for me. Let's go to Philippians 4:8. Philippians 4:8. Says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. You know, if we will take our imaginations and we could use this as a filter. And we just, you know, when our imagination wants to start running away with us, we could see if it's true. And then we could see if it's honest. And then we could see if it's just. And then we could see if it's pure. And then we could see if it's lovely and of good report. And if we could think on those things, and we could just run it through that filter. And if it, you know, if it doesn't come up to this, why don't we just put it aside? Why don't we stick with what's true? Let's stick with what's honest. You know, what we know for it to be a fact. Let's not just imagine things. You know, I don't know. Maybe y'all don't struggle with that, but you know, it can just so easily. I can just imagine things. Okay, I quote out of the book here again. Being broken is both God's work and ours. He brings his presence to bear, but we have to make a choice. We have to make a choice, you know. We're not created like the animals. God created us in his image, and he gave each one of us a choice. So you can choose. You can choose to walk away today and be just the same as you were. Or you can choose to have that place of just total brokenness, clear, revival, peace in your heart. You know, you can choose. God's not going to force you. If we are really open to conviction as we seek fellowship with God, and willingness for the light is the prime condition of fellowship with God, God will show us the expressions of this proud, hard self that cause him pain. Then it is we can stiffen our necks and refuse to repent, or we can bow the head and say, "Yes, Lord." Brokenness in daily experience is simply the response of humility to the conviction of God. And inasmuch as this conviction is continuous, we shall need to be broken continually. And this can be very costly. When we see all the yielding of rights and selfish interests that this will involve in the confessions and restitutions, That may be sometimes necessary. For this reason, we are not likely to be broken except at the cross of Jesus. That's so true. You know, we can choose. We can choose to bow today and be broken. Or it'll go like this in Luke 20. 18 says, "Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." Now that's some strong words. Wasn't my words, that's Luke here. This is the Lord's words. "Whosoever shall fall upon that rock shall be broken." You know, we can choose today to fall upon the rock. And to just be done with our old life, you know. And if we haven't found that place of brokenness and just total peace with the Lord, we can do that. We can do that. Or like I said, we can choose today to walk away from here and be just like we, however we desire to be. But let's just remember this. All will be broken. All will be broken one day. And we can choose now to be broken, or we can be ground to powder, as it says here. And that's very graphic. But my encouragement is we can be broken today, and we can do it, come of our own will. But in the end, it says here, the Lord says, whosoever this rock falls on, it will grind him to powder. This is a way of life, this humbling ourselves and being broken. It's a revived life. It's the revived life. It's the life that is broken and lives that way from day to day. You know, you just can't get at odds with somebody that's broken. You know, Jesus was broken. He was our example, just like we shared there earlier. And Sean also brought that out, how he was beaten and, you know, he was just mutilated, you know. And Jesus was broken. He was broken, and he made that example. He gave that example, and we're to follow. Psalms 22:6 says, I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. This is what the psalmist penned, light of Jesus. I am a worm. Have we been ever so badly treated as Jesus was? I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. Let's turn to Philippians. Philippians 2, or there in Philippians anyways. Chapter 2, verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Christ's example of brokenness, humility. He was our example. He's asked us to follow. We're to follow in this. Can we humble ourselves? Can we become obedient and just die to ourselves and bow at Jesus at the cross? Be done with the old life. One verse in Revelation yet I'd like to read. Revelation chapter 5, verse 5 there of chapter 3 says, he that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. What a promise. What a promise do we have? Wouldn't it be worth bowing our knees, being rid of our own will and self, be broken for this? The all-compelling reason, right, is first of all, we're to follow Jesus' example, right, and to live a life like he did here on this earth. Isn't that the first and foremost reason for us to bow our lives to him? But also, here's a blessed promise of having our not having. He says, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Wouldn't you want to walk upon this earth with that kind of a blessing on your life, you know, each day? It's a blessed promise that we have, that the Lord will not blot out our names, and he will confess our name before the Father and before his angels. If we will only just bow, you know, we all have a choice. We can just humble ourselves, be done with our own agenda, and just give it all to the Lord. It's simple, yet it costs everything. It costs everything. And hopefully that can be an encouragement to you all. I think that's all I have here this morning, but may the Lord bless each one of y'all.